You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. One of the core values I hold in my business is collaboration over competition. Too often, I have seen fellow therapists feel the need to gatekeep about their practice or are worried that other therapists will take their clients or their business ideas. But I firmly believe in the opposite, that it is in community and connection that we all thrive and that we can actually build each other up. And that we actually need all of that in order to have thriving practices and businesses. So I'm so excited to be joined today by my guests who live out this belief in their practices and joint business. My guests today are Miranda Campbell and Jessica Harris. Miranda Campbell is a licensed clinical social worker specializing in attachment trauma and relationship healing, particularly for BIPOC individuals. With a focus on attachment-based therapy and brain spotting, Miranda helps clients understand how their early childhood experiences shape their adult relationships. She is passionate about breaking generational cycles of trauma and helping people form healthier, more secure connections. Her work is also inspired by her experiences as a BIPOC therapist, emphasizing emotional empowerment within diverse communities. And Jessica Harris is a licensed professional counselor and the founder of The Beauty Clinic, where she specializes in negative body image, disordered eating, perfectionism, and relational trauma, especially for people of color. Jessica has a strong background in helping women understand their self-worth, rediscover themselves, or discover themselves for the first time by understanding their personal values and emotional wellness. As a therapist dedicated to empowering her clients, Jessica specializes in helping people find harmony between personal well-being and relationship health. She's particularly passionate about supporting those in the BIPOC community, ensuring that cultural context is central to healing emotional and spiritual wounds. Ladies, I am so glad to have you both here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
We were chatting a bit before, and I'm really excited for this episode. And I think there's just going to be so much value that so many people need to hear from this. So I'm really, really excited for our conversation today. I always ask first-time guests to share with listeners, how did you get into this field? Because I think it can be like inspiring for those who maybe are in like a different area of mental health and maybe not in private practice of like, oh, wait, okay, I can eventually get there. Or maybe that is for me. But also I just think it's interesting the similarities so many of our stories have and the differences. So I don't know who wants to go first, but kind of share like, how did you get into this field?
You go, Jess.
I can go first. So I honestly have always had a knack for self-help books. Even when I was younger, I was always reading or taking a quiz, whether it was Cosmo or Sweet 16, whatever the case may be. And I actually started off in computer engineering in undergrad.
That's different.
And took my first sociology class. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm called to do. And went off to grad school. But I really have wanted to always understand myself and then understand people and relationships. And it just blossomed into this beautiful thing. So, that's what brought me into it.
Did you know you wanted to go into private practice?
Actually, yes. I wanted to go into private practice, but I started off at eating disorder facilities. So when I moved to Georgia, the only job I got was a eating disorder facility for children. And I did not know I would love eating disorders so much. And it bloomed into that. That's how I became the beauty therapist and was into makeup. So it really was like a new way and creative way to connect with my clients and show them a different version of themselves and their perspective.
I love that. I love that. Miranda, how did you enter this field?
Oh my goodness, I didn't realize, Jess, that you and I had such a similar origin story. It's so funny. So I too loved the magazines when I was younger, and I just like knew I was going to help young girls with their self-esteem, but I thought I was going to do it by creating magazines. Thank goodness I didn't, because like, oh my goodness, where are the magazines now? But yeah, I thought I was going to do it by creating magazines. I majored in journalism at first, and I don't know. I ended up, I think the classes were full, or I ended up in like this. I registered late, so like I was into the more advanced classes at the beginning, and I was like, oh, this is hard. So I dropped that class and I went to like computer graphics or something, but I hated doing it for like a grade, and like I couldn't memorize code back then. Back then it was all about memorizing code, right? Or like
Yeah.
copying code, and it was just too much. So my mentor told me about sociology. And so from there it was a wrap. I went to my first class and I just loved it. And the rest, this is, I'm here now.
Yeah. And was private practice on your horizon? Like, was that something that you're like, oh, that's the direction I want to go?
Definitely. I guess I kind of liken it to like, you know, when you start a new job and you find out the lay of the land, like first you do this and then you advance to this and this and that. I kind of saw it in that way as well. So yeah, it was my aspiration. I didn't think it would be so soon. I'm from California, you know, and owning like a business, no one thought about online therapy back in 2010 when I graduated with my master's. But, you know, like affording an office space in California, I'm just, you know, assuming it was going to be like an arm and a leg. But moving to Georgia back in 2013 and just being around so many other entrepreneurs, I don't know, the city, like, I think it's a very entrepreneurial city. So I caught the bug.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. No, and I think you have a social work background, correct? Yeah, I do too. I'm not sure for you, Jessica, maybe they do talk a little bit more about it, like in the counseling programs, but like it is not talked about, like the entrepreneurship aspect of like private practice in the social work field whatsoever. So it takes being around, I think, other people to be like, oh, this is possible, or oh, yeah, like I like getting to flex this other part of myself, like this creative piece of myself, and building this business that you don't really get to when you're in kind of that community mental health agency work, working for somebody else. That, yeah, like being an entrepreneur definitely like allows that part to come out of you.
Yeah.
They actually didn't tell us much about that in grad school, even as professional counselors. But I saw my professors, they had books and they had their private practice and they were teaching and they were doing adjunct. I was like, oh my goodness, they're doing all these things. How do they juggle it all? And even though I started off in a residential facility, my goal was always to do private practice because I felt like I could do more and have a bigger impact that way. Well, through groups, and I saw the need for people of color where they didn't even know where to start when it came to being treated, and I thought I could serve in a better way that in that way with private practice.
Yeah, creating more opportunity or equity, like being able to have access to care that maybe isn't available in other places. So I know, in addition to having your individual practices, you guys have a joint venture together. And I would love to kind of hear a little bit about what Therapist Bessie is and kind of how did that come to be?
So, Therapist Bestie is really helping other therapists or organizations thrive ultimately. How we came together was we were two therapists that were excited about working with eating disorder population, especially for the BIPOC community, because we saw there was a need. We are highly underdiagnosed. So we're like, how can we get this out to other therapists and how can they expand their practice? Because they're not aware of let's demystify this and make it less scary to work with those with eating disorders and disorder eating. That's how it started. And now it's bloomed to, okay, we can help other organizations and whether we're destigmatizing mental health for the organization or just giving additional support so their connection and morale can be better, is what we do. And it's been really cool working with Miranda.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been so amazing. Like, you touched on something about the collaboration versus competition, and I really feel so incredibly blessed to like be able to overcome what would be like intuitively like crazy. Why would you partner with someone else? Like, couldn't they like scam you? Or you just hear these like horror stories, but Jess and I, it's kind of like this experiential thing. Jess is a guru at relationship marketing, and I think our relationship it kind of embodies what that looks like. So we connected relationship-wise first and saw our like common interest, and we were just authentically ourselves. I think we're just, I mean, obviously we're helpers, right? By profession. But because Jess's goals align with a lot of my goals, and a lot of the things that I aspire to do, like, you even heard our origin story. We were both reading magazines. Like, she was in computer science, I was in graphics. Like, it's just crazy. So, whatever I like kind of speak out and put out there, she's like, oh, well, we can amplify it by doing this, and vice versa. Whatever she's like aspiring to do, I kind of like pounce on those ideas and like amplify them and like gas her up. And so like the things that like I've done by myself were great. Don't get me wrong. Toot-toot, right? With Jess's involvement and just like having a sounding board, they're just amplified like tenfold. Like everything I've touched since partnering with her has just been incredible.
It's making me excited just talking about this because it's been so cool to see us flow in our zone of genius that Miranda always says. So if mine is like going to networking events and talking and just chatting it up, this is where I really just enjoy just doing that and having conversations. And Miranda's like, I want to like spruce up the website and do all the nerdy things. It's like
Whatever I can do, like in my pajamas at home watching, I got it, Yeah.
Well, and I wonder, like, because I just think this is just so beautiful, like what you guys are describing that you've created together. Because, I think as women, even if you are not a parent, right? Like, we so often take on these other roles, whether we are taking on roles for family members, or if we're in like that sandwich generation, we're caring for aging parents, and we're always taking more on. And in solo practice, which don't get me wrong, I love it, right? I love working for myself. I love not having to be like, can I do this? No, I can do it because I want to do it. The reality is my time is limited because I am a mom. I do have a husband. So like there's just other people that need me. And so I do have time limits to my day, right? There's constraints. And so to do something else in addition to private practice just requires more of me. But when you collaborate, being able to have that person that supports you, right? Like you guys are working together, but you're taking on different roles. You're able to flourish and get more done in many ways. And I wonder, like, where you both are saying, like, for Jessica, you're like the relationship marketing, the networking, that's your zone of genius, right? The design, the other pieces that maybe are a little more technical or like require a different skill set are yours, Miranda. And I wonder how you guys lean into those or identify those parts of yourself or each other, right? To say, how do we make this work without feeling like, well, I'm doing this. Why isn't she doing this other thing? But recognizing, like, well, no, actually, like, this is my area of focus. This is yours.
Well, it helps kind of to think about what gives us energy. And that's the difference. Okay, so when we work, right, we think about just our bandwidth, and usually you think about work and it's like burnout, fatigue, what you're pouring into other things. But the way that we've divided the task is in such a way that we're doing the things that actually light us up and give us energy back. I geek out on a website or like picking up colors or like, does this picture go so well? Or, you know, I may get drained by the prospect of going to a network event at night after having a full day of clients, where Jess, on the other hand, is like, yes, that's exactly what I need to unwind. And so that's part of it.
Do you guys have discussions about that? Like, as you guys were kind of figuring this out together, because I could see where, like, for you, Jess, where if you're like, yeah, give me the people, I'll talk to them. But if you're feeling like, oh, like, why isn't Miranda doing this? But then not realizing, like, well, that's just not her area of interest or her area of, like, expertise, or like you said, that zone of genius. How do you guys, maybe, I don't know if acknowledge or recognize or like delegate, I'm not sure what the right word is that I'm looking for to help understand of like, no, like we are in a partnership. This is what it looks to support each other without feeling like, well, I'm doing quote unquote all the work, even though you're not, right? Like, but it's in this one area. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm asking.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Oh, and we have had those conversations. That shows up when it comes to social media. I do enjoy social media, but I rather talk to the camera versus doing a carousel, and Miranda will like beast out doing a whole bunch of carousels that look amazing. But I'm like, oh my goodness, that's so draining. But when it comes to certain aspects, so going to the networking, we've had conversations and she's like, oh my goodness, I don't even know what to say. And I'm nervous and I feel awkward. And I'm like, you're doing great. And we'll just support each other in that. And give each other tips and tricks on how to connect or how to do something a different way or what will make it easier, whether it's Miranda showing me a different software and I'm like giving her tips on what to ask during marketing. We do that, but also it's like, no, girl, like sit out. You have your kids and your husband, like you can relax. And for me, it's like going out on a Friday for me.
So part of it is like strategy, right? So like planning out the things that we intend to do for a set period of time, whether it's for the year, for a quarter or whatever, like what we're pushing out. And we talk, we have honest conversations. And I think that's pivotal in the whole relationship, that foundation. I feel comfortable saying like, oh, I suck at that. Or, you know, I could do that, but I really don't want to. And safe enough to share that vulnerably. Like, that's just not what I want to do. And being able to like honor that, you know, there may be times where I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm dropping the ball, you know, but just having those honest conversations and maintaining, I think this goes for both of us, being able to maintain that sense of safety so that we don't shy away from saying those things. Like, maybe I'm afraid of being judged, but it's more like internal judgment.
Sure.
It's like, I think my business partner is like going to hate me for this. Or if so, I will say, you're going to hate me for this. And usually I'm met with like, girl, no, you've done X, Y. And like, she'll remind me of all the things I've done already. And saying, let me off your plate, or like, how can I support her? If we're feeling like we're not pitching it enough. I don't know if that's kind of like what you're asking.
No, it does. And I think that brings up like a really interesting thing that I know I myself have faced as a challenge, that, you know, when you do work for yourself, right, you are doing all the things, right? You're like, you are the marketer, you are the biller, you are the therapist. And in entrepreneurship, especially startup, like it does require a lot from you. But a lot of times, at least my experience is in seeing in women, is like, we are the first to be like, I'll take care of it, I'll do it, right? Like, so we're all volunteering for the thing, but like you said, maybe that doesn't feel aligned with like who we are, or I don't want to do that, but we're afraid to say that. And so I love what you're describing of saying, because the core of this is the relationship, right? Like, you guys have this connection, you know enough about yourselves, you feel safe, like you said, with each other to be able to be like, look, sure, someone needs to pick that up, but I don't want to be the one to do it, or that's not my strong suit. And being able to have those honest conversations without feeling like I just have to say yes because that's what I'm quote unquote supposed to do, I think it's a really beautiful thing.
We like it a lot. All right, I do it. I know, I'm assuming Jessica, she hasn't said nothing. She hasn't said anything to me so far, like about not liking it. But I think it's like important to be flexible too. Like, sure. You know, if we decide, hey, this is how we're going to divide it, let's see how this feels, and being willing to pivot if down the road, even if it's a week from now or two months from now, like, oh, this doesn't feel like the division is good. You know, like we can kind of recalibrate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and then also I think it's important, maybe like this is something you pick up as a solo business, because there are times where you need to delegate. Just, oh, I think this really, the best parallel is, yes, I can treat X, Y, and Z disorders, but it doesn't mean I have to treat all of them. Mm-hmm. I'm able to, but it doesn't mean that my business has to take all of those, like niching down, really.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I can do all of the things, but does it serve me to do all of the things if I have to put on this hat and then that hat and then change? You know, I only have so much time outside of life to work, right? And so if I'm jumping from doing website editing and then going out to this event, it's like too many. Yeah. I'm tired, like the shifting of gears. And so if we create lanes, then it makes it so much better.
Yeah.
And I was even going to add, even realizing I have ADHD and how I can get off focus. Me and Miranda use the term of like, am I being the kite or the string? So am I blowing with the wind, and do I need to help ground you a bit? And it's like, okay, now it's my time to be the string, and like, let's not go too far ahead in certain things. So I feel like we have learned how to flow with each other, and it's like, okay, let's reel it back. And what is the actual goal here for this specific thing, and ground ourselves in that? And what is the plan? So we definitely go back to strategy and how we can really support each other to get to that ultimate goal.
Well, and I think, Miranda, I think you said the word pivot, and I think that's so crucial in life, especially as entrepreneurs, of like things happen where you can be like, yeah, this is what I'm planning for Q2, but you know, something happens in Q1 that it's like, okay, I'm not able to do that because life has thrown me a curveball. And so being able to sometimes not just like push and force it to happen, right? Because like, well, it's what I said I was going to do, but like being able to say like, no, it's okay to pivot, right? It doesn't mean you have failed, or it doesn't mean that that can't happen in some other capacity, but like being able to say like, it is okay to take a turn that you was not expected. And it doesn't mean like it's a bad thing per se, but being able to recognize like, where are the places where we pivot or adjust? And it doesn't have to be this like very specific thing that we said, well, we said we were going to do it, but like, no, it's okay, because this is going on in Jess's life, or this is going on in Miranda's life. Like, it's okay to shift if we need to.
Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly, so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting. With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims, all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use, because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices, or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly
ashleysimplepractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. What do you think has been one of the unexpected or surprising things about creating like a joint business versus say like a solo practice or a solo business?
I would say really learning each other's personality along with, again, what are the strengths. We're both used to doing everything in our own business, but allowing myself to even have the help and be vulnerable. It was like, you know, I can't take this, or I am feeling overwhelmed. And sometimes I do get anxious, like, oh my goodness, like Miranda's going to get upset, or I didn't get this done. And she's like, no, it's you. We agree to X, Y, Z. And this is what you can rest assured that I'm not angry. So ultimately, I think for me, the biggest thing is actually asking for help versus I'm used to doing everything. Now I can actually lean on someone and get the support and the pump up or encouragement that I may need, even emotionally.
That's so beautiful. Like, I think that's like such a model for like what we struggle with so often in life is that like asking for help. And what is it like in that? It's that vulnerability, right? Like being able to admit, like you said earlier, Miranda, I don't want to do it, or I didn't have the time to do it, or it's not going to happen on the schedule that I thought. But like, yeah, being able to have that vulnerability and know, like you said, Miranda is there supporting you. Like, it's okay. Like, we agreed to X, Y, Z, and like, it will get done. Like, just having that grace for one another, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess what's been surprising for me would be just how much momentum we've been able to build. I don't know. It's easy to like fall into the trap of thinking like this won't work because, again, you hear so many horror stories of partnerships ruining like friendships. But it's funny. I was talking to my husband about it a few months ago. And historically, I've worked really well professionally with like actual friends. Like many of them were like my bridesmaids and my wedding. And I think it's maybe something, I don't know, we recognized it as being really unique. So I don't know if it's like something that's in our personalities that like certain people just jive well on that, but just like not being able to like not take things personally. I mean, you always hope for the best, but like actually seeing it come out to play, like being played out in action is just remarkable.
Yeah.
Although like we set so many goals, for 2024, that's when we started Therapist Bestie. Just seeing like how much we've grown and how we've been able to just learn from like different mistakes or different approaches that just didn't work, or how we've been able to just like amplify like the vision has just been so cool. Like I would have never guessed in a million years this time last year that we'd be like best-selling authors on Amazon together, like
yeah.
Together. Like, it's just so incredible. Just the legacy that we've been able to build, and it's only been a year.
Yeah. Well, and I think to your point too, that even if you're like, I play well with others, right? You're like, I do well in business with others, that like not everybody else does, right? And so where you may be like, yeah, I like having a partnership. Like, it sounds like you found your match, right? Like you found Jessica, who is that also plays well with others, right? Who also is in that, because it isn't always a good fit. And I wonder, like, I have seen this just so much in, especially in the therapist community, but we are so fearful of others taking clients or taking our business idea as if there's not enough help or need to go around. And I wonder if someone is listening to this and, you know, is like, I would love to have kind of what you guys are describing, but I'm so worried about what if somebody else takes my ideas or what if this doesn't go well? Like, do you have any suggestions of how to either think about it or kind of what to look for in that partner or kind of how to set things up to make sure it does go well?
My first thought is actually taking the time to, of course, get to know that person and their values, their business goals, what's important to them. I think one of the things that Miranda and I have really connected with was beyond the eating disorder aspect, was really helping other therapists thrive in their practice, as well as we are learning and growing in our own practice. But we really congealed on really dealing with our money mindset when it came to being healing professionals. And we hear all these negative, what do you call it, messages around not having money, and we need to be a certain way if we're going to be giving back, especially the BIPOC community, to be accessible. And we're like, no, we want to create amazing lives and help people in a great way. So we really bonded over that, and it just continued to bloom. But I go back to, we started off with doing collaborations, and that went so well with training other therapist practices and doing like little projects. And we're like, we work really well together. We're killing it. So how can we continue to expand on that? And I just was just honored to be able to be by our side. And we saw how we really congealed and worked together, and it was success.
To piggyback on that, yeah, I definitely agree. That alignment of values. I like that you pointed out, like, just it didn't start where it is today. Like, it started with like baby steps. We got to test certain things. And I think too, it's nice that we still have our own individual businesses. And so if there's this something that we really want to do that doesn't fit within Therapist Bestie or doesn't have the bandwidth for it, we could, it's not like either one of us are holding each other back. And so I think that that helps create some balance as well. We still have like autonomy within this partnership.
Yeah. Which helps. No, I love exactly what you were saying of like that there were these smaller, not that they were small, but that there were these, mm-hmm. like you said, collaboration over partnership. Those are two different things, right? And I think that those are a great way of kind of testing the waters to see like, yeah, like how does it feel to do something with somebody else that mm-hmm. is around business, right? That, you know, it could be on a project. It doesn't have to be like I have to create this whole additional business with this other person, but we may be able to partner on these, you know, smaller things, that it doesn't have to become a whole separate thing. You can still have that collaboration.
Right. I think it's, you know, having a knack for seeing, I look at it as concentric circles and just seeing how, what the overlap is in ways that you can share an audience without stepping on each other's toes. And so there's a lot of ways that you can do that. I mean, if you think about even our specialties, Jess and I in our individual practices, we see primarily Black women. We talk about attachment and attachment trauma and relationships, and we talk about body image. But like the cool thing about it is, even though that it sounds like, oh no, you guys are too close, you're going to take away from each other, that's not the case, because of our approaches are differently. Like, we're different people. Like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
just seeing where there is a slight deviation with it. Like, Jess is more body image focused, right, than I am. So yeah, I refer to her all the time, even though we have very similar backgrounds or clinical approaches.
Well, and I think one of the things that I don't feel like it gets talked about enough, but that similar to what you're talking about is that you guys, like you said, you have very similar maybe kind of niches or ideal populations that you may work with. But even if, like, let's say somebody did come to you, Miranda, saying like, I do want to work on body image, and it's the same topic that you may be working on too, Jessica, mm-hmm. is that someone will come to you because they want to work with you. And someone will come to you because they want to work with you. And I think we forget that sometimes, that we each have our own orientation. We each have our own style, our own approach. And that, like, that we aren't the blank slates, right? Like, that we've been told to be. But, like, that really does matter in how we are in the therapy room, or even in coaching, or in our other businesses outside of, you know, private practice or therapy, that, like, who you are, the essence you bring, is what's going to bring someone to work with you versus to work with somebody else, right? Even if it is in the same linear idea of, like, the same type of client, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds like it's the same on paper, but in experience, it's much different. And so being able to pinpoint and verbalize what those differences are, there's tons of therapists using CBT, but how do you use CBT to get the results of the clients, and being able to articulate that?
Like, one of the things I've seen, and I have my thoughts on this, but I feel like women, we are just oftentimes, like, just naturally competitive with each other. Well, let me take that back. I don't think we're naturally, I think we're taught to be competitive, but, like, mm-hmm. why do you think we are so competitive versus, like, supportive, right? Where we're talking about, like, all right, if the client goes to see Jessica, I'm excited for her. I'm not sitting here being like, why didn't they come to me? Right. Like, why do you think that is?
That's actually exactly what I was going to say. I'm like, when Miranda tells me that she got another full fee client, I'm like, oh my gosh, you did it. Like, I'm so excited, as if it's my client. But yeah. Why I think that is because, like you said, we can get into that place of, when I share even with my clients about comparison, the thought is, if someone else has it, then it's taken away from me. And that's truly not the case. When Miranda gets something, it's not taking away from me. If anything, it's celebrating and, like, oh my goodness, you're learning something new, and we're both growing in this. And that's how I see it now. And I'm saying this from someone that I would say obsessive comparison disease, where I used to compare myself a lot in a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. to now understanding, like, collaboration is beautiful, and it actually can strengthen me and grow me in ways I've never imagined. But unfortunately, we are taught, or we feel that it's taken away from us, and it's based in fear and maybe some shame of maybe not being enough in some way. And you need to do something different rather than just being your authentic self. And like you said earlier, though, me showing up as myself is going to gravitate the ideal client or clientele or project or whatever you're desiring that really fits just for you, instead of doing something that you have to overcompensate and overextend yourself. So staying in that space can feel good for you instead of feeling a strain.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So Jess, would you say that the whole, if you get something, it's taken away from me? I feel like, I don't know, something's drawing me to see it through the lens of, like, money mindset.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, the thought of, oh my goodness, that client, I mean, and I'm saying this because I know I dealt with this, and when I was in group practice, oh my goodness, this person got another client, they were full fee. And I'm like, what was it about me? Why they didn't choose me? Or they chose this person over me? Like, and I would go down the list of, it must be because of all this stuff. But in actuality, you know, they may have not been the good fit for you, and they probably wouldn't have stayed anyway, or I would have helped them as much even if they did stay. And I know, or learning and believe that what's meant for me, or the client that's for me, or the project, or whatever, the contract, whatever the case may be, is for me, and or for a therapist, Bessie, and that's to work together and work our magic. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm learning and embracing in my life at this point.
Yeah, I think it's like anti-scarcity mindset, right? Like,
yes,
knowing that it's in abundance, and, like, regardless of what happens to my left or to my right, like again, what's for me is gonna land for me for sure. Yeah. I also think like if you really just stay grounded in your why. So I'm doing this to help people, right? And so it doesn't matter, like if I truly want people to be helped, it doesn't matter if I help them, you help them, Jess helps them, or whoever's listening helps them. It just matters that they get helped. And so that's part of our like our reasoning behind our joint venture Therapist Bestie, so that if one, I can't see everybody and I don't want to, like I want to be my cap right now is 12 a week. I want to get it down to 4. So if I can see 4 a week, you know, so I can only see so many people, but I can definitely impact the masses if I pour into other therapists and make sure they're not burning out and leaving the field.
Yeah.
So yeah. Looking at it that way, instead of thinking like, oh, I have to see them all to be the greatest or the best. The greatest and the best isn't necessarily measured by how many people you're seeing.
Right. Right.
You measure your success by. So.
And another thing I think that, that I noticed about Miranda early on that we both have a heart for is paving it forward. And that she has a beautiful, amazing group practice and she pours into her clinicians and they're amazing. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to do that too. And we really support each other and just putting each other on to other experiences. I want to say earlier this year, I actually got the opportunity to be on Fox, the Portia show. And I was like, oh, Miranda, like I'm actually flying out for a conference in DC. Can you stand in the gap for me here? And it's okay. I'll do another one for body image later. And we were able to both be there. It didn't take away from me because I wasn't able to be there. We both got our chance and it was amazing. So.
Well, and I think to kind of what you're saying of like, again, if it's not me helping or if it's not me supporting and it's somebody else, like, great. Like you said, it's paving the path forward. It's, you know, getting, you know, more women out there that are showing what it looks like to be an entrepreneur, to be in business, to be in partnership together. It's showing, you know, other therapists that like, no, like there is enough to go around. It's helping to destigmatize what it looks like to, you know, need help for mental health, right? Like all of the things, like you said, that it's not just, well, there's something lacking for me because this other person had this opportunity. Who knows? Like maybe you share something, Jessica, that then resonates with somebody, but they're in a state that you're not licensed in, right? Or like, and so then they're reaching out to somebody else. Or, you know, just being able to see, you know, somebody that looks like them, representation, right? That like, oh, wait a second, I didn't think that I was allowed in that space or that I was able to do that, but that like, no, I'm seeing a therapist or I'm seeing a businesswoman who looks like me, who sounds like me, who's from the area that I live, right? That like, that I can connect with on multiple levels. It's just being able to create that visibility. And again, like, I don't know. I firmly believe like when we lift one up, we lift them all. Like as we lift each other up, right? Like we all are rising in that. There's too much darkness in this world to be tearing each other out down in this profession that we don't need to be doing that, especially to each other as women. Mm-hmm. I know you guys just put out a book and I'm super excited to hear about it because yes, as you said earlier, it's now an Amazon bestseller. So can you share a little bit about the book and the work that led to you guys creating this?
Well, it was like a no-brainer. It was like, I want to say, I don't remember exactly like all of the origin story of the book. Everything with us just snowballs. We both take turns, like Jess said, being the kite in the string. But I had this ambition on being an author for quite some time. It was one of those like bucket list items that you thought like maybe you would get to it by the time you were like old and gray. Granted, I do have some gray, but I would like to consider myself like prematurely accomplishing this, because it felt like such an ambitious goal, and I thought like, well, maybe if I do a children's book, that'll be easier, and I'll get to it or whatever. But I finally was just like, let's just do this. Jess, do you want to hop on? And she was like, heck yeah. So in my head, you know, I had a timeline in my head that I wanted to accomplish this. And having another writer would like cut that in half of like how much I would have to do it. So it was like a no-brainer for me. Like, it, again, it doesn't take away anything. I'm still an author. I'm still a best-selling author, regardless of, or not, if my business bestie is on there with me. And I'm just so glad that we both could do it. And the fact that it can, like, I mean, obviously, I don't even have to say, like, the impact on, like, the clients that we see, but just the impact of like, on getting our own independent businesses out there outside of therapists. But, like, I don't know. It's just, like, so many, like, so much fruit that is produced. So that's, like, the nerd behind the scenes, like, business thing. I'll let Jess get into the hearts and warm fuzzies on the communities we're helping, but you know, all in all, it just seemed like, well, heck yeah, like, I want to do this. I have I'm getting this coaching around getting this book launched and released and being successful. Like, why not get my bestie in there and let's tag team it? And so Therapist Bestie published it, actually.
That's exciting.
That's
kind of
cool.
It's really cool, and it's such a blessing, because I think for me it was timing also with, like, Miranda, of course, it's gonna be dope regardless. I just knew it, but I actually have been having a group called Healing from Struggle Love for Black women for about a year, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what they need. And being already had a curriculum for it, I'm like, yeah, it was a no-brainer on my end as well. Like, let me make a bigger impact. And that's my thing. We both are about impact, but I'm like, how can I make a bigger impact in different ways? And I'm like, a better way to use a book to reach more people.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you guys said the title of the book yet?
Oh,
no.
It's Attachment Style Makeover. It's a workbook specifically for well, it's for anyone, but we do have cultural and BIPOC references, so it can really connect those that are new to attachment styles, and especially for our community to understand how does the intersectionality connect in different ways. So we do mention about having, you know, Black moms and dads, and how those things can show up, and even with spirituality and faith, with how I know we were taught, or I know I share my story. We both share our stories in our workbook, but I share my story on faith and my journey in that, and the attachment with faith in God. So those things are pretty cool to share and get that message out there and let people know that they're not alone in that.
Yeah.
We were just really excited to just produce not just a book, but a workbook, because a lot of times our clients are faced with, okay, yes, what you say sounds amazing, but how? So we wanted to know how. And so our hope is that it would be a great companion for anyone who's in therapy, but also a great companion for clinicians as well, like on exercises that they can use in their sessions to go deeper, to dig deeper with their clients.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you're saying, like, this could be for anybody, but that it recognizes, like, there are cultural components to who we are, right? And the experiences that we have and how that shows up in how we are in life, but also, like you said, like, your different types of attachment, or how it shows up in connection to your faith or your family or specific members of your family too. And so I think to have a resource like this that is going to speak to someone who doesn't look like me, but maybe looks like you, right? That there's a connection there that I will not understand as a white woman, right? But that recognizing that there is a need there, and that this is an important tool, and that there's a different need that I can understand, but that you have a different cultural experience than I do, or just life experience that I do, as a BIPOC woman, right? And that's just so important to recognize and to have a specific support for our clients. I think it's just so beautiful.
Well, if we bring this conversation full circle, we talked about like competition, right? So if we think about the pioneer of adult attachment, Sue Johnson, may, you know, she rest in peace. Like, I can't outright her. Like, I can't produce like a Hold Me Tight or a Love Sense, right? But at the same time, there's enough space for another book for attachment styles, because when I talk about it, I am going to bring my cultural lens in that context. And so that's the beauty of it. I think someone asked me on LinkedIn, well, what's different from the one I already have sitting on my shelf? And I'm like, well, let me tell you.
I wrote it.
So there's definitely enough space for it. And I think there's definitely a need for it.
Yes. Very, very much so. No, if we're going to be working with all the parts of ourselves, we need to make sure, you know, whether it is ourselves or our clients, that we are treating all the parts of ourselves and them and who we are in our culture, in our ethnicity, in our background, in our gender, like, is part of that. And so, yeah, like, what one person writes is going to be from a different lens than what somebody else who is of a different cultural background or ethnicity or gender. And so, yeah, there is enough to go around. There is enough space to hold for clients and for each other in that, for sure.
I don't know what this episode's going to be named, but I definitely think that this is a theme that keeps coming up. It's like, there's enough space. If you've been sitting on an idea, but you think, oh, I can't do it like everyone else is doing it, or it's not going to be as good, you know, just really be encouraged and have the audacity to just do it. Because it's coming from you, thus it is going to be different. So
yeah,
unless absolutely. You're copying, you know, you be inspired, don't copy.
Yes, exactly. Where can people find your book?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. Well, if you would like to assigned copy, you can go to our website to order one at therapistbestie.com, because you get a cool little affirmation card that Jess designed.
Absolutely. And it's just probably a better way of supporting going directly through you than maybe through a big box, a third party.
Thank you. Yes.
And we will definitely have your website linked in the show notes. I know you guys also have two different freebies, that one of them kind of is not specific to the book necessarily, but around attachment styles. And the other is a little bit more therapist private practice related. Can you guys share a little bit about both of those?
Yeah. Another instance of going to our website, right? You can download some stuff for free. We definitely will be adding on to that. But we do have the attachment style audit, which I guess like it's a way to get your feet wet. Jess has an attachment style quiz as well that we're going to be getting on there soon. And then we also have, it's a long title, so forgive me, I'm going to abbreviate, From Generic to Genuine. And it's basically a step-by-step guide on how to enhance your directory listings so that you can stand out and shine and attract who you're meant to work with.
Yes. Yeah. Well, anything else you want to leave listeners with before we wrap up for today?
The only thing I want to say is just like we've been talking about being inspired, but ultimately knowing that you have the power and you have all that you need to accomplish and do what you want for your clients, for yourself, for your business, and nothing can stop you. I'm a little bit on where the top of December, so Wicked just came out and I watched it, and I'm like, they're talking about limitless, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like singing that in my head, and it's like, we're really limitless. So I just want your audience to know that they're limitless and they're inspired.
Yeah,
I love that. That's a great, I can't even top that. I saw it last night as well, and I've been making everything a song based on my kids. Well, no. I was like, good night.
Well, and I love that so much. And I think honestly, I mean, that's a big part of what this show is about, is to recognize that there are things in life that try to put limits and try to contain us and try to tell us, oh no, like, you can't do this, or you're not allowed in this space, or, you know, you're not good enough, or whatever it is, whether it's explicitly stated or implicitly, you know, it's implied. But to recognize exactly what you just said, Jessica, is that like it is in you. And if you want it, to not be fearful of what you see around you and say, well, they're doing like, no. And if anything, that's proof of concept, right? And that there is enough to go around. And that being able to do what you guys are doing, and even our conversation here today, right? Collaborating, being able to form community, form those relationships is so important. And it's just a way of being able to get more of you and support for others out in the world. So to not be afraid to do that. I really want to thank you both so much for being here to chat with me today. And I hope this isn't the last that we will hear from you guys. I hope that we will connect again for future shows too.
Definitely.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.